Our speaker this morning has been a member of the National Federation of the Blind since she was seven. We don't talk about how old she is now, but she's not that old. But she's been an active, energetic member, and she started by being engaged in our Braille Readers, Our Leaders program. Is anybody familiar with that? Well, clearly Braille readers are leaders, and around age 11, she got involved in judo. So that's a warning to all of you. She got involved in judo, and she has competed at a number of world championships, and she is currently training and hoping to qualify to go to Beijing this summer to go for the gold. She's a graduate of the University of California at Berkeley and also Louisiana Tech University. Dynamic leader, woman who works with blind people and is very active in her community and now is very focused on going for the gold. Here is Lisa Maria Martinez.
Good morning. All right, I'm a pretty curious person, and I haven't been able to go around and meet all of you. So I have a couple questions for you so I can get to know who's out there. I want to know how many parents are out there. Go ahead and clap or make some noise. Any teachers? How about students? That's it? How many of the students are junior high age? Any of you guys? Clap? Nobody? Okay. How about high schoolers? Any college students out there? All right. That's okay. Soon to be college students, I'm sure. Okay. I want to talk today about getting involved and being active and how that can lead to success. I want to know some of the things that you guys are involved in. Anyone involved in sports, school ball, martial arts, swimming, track, anything like that. Football. Blind people can play football. That's how I got my first black eye. Anyone involved in clubs, after school clubs, before school clubs? How about anyone involved in church activities? Anyone volunteering? How about anyone who's getting paid to do a job? I like that. I like money. Money's good. I wonder who's it money. You guys are lucky. All right. Well, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication and a lot of commitment to be successful in whatever you set your mind to do. Once, a long time ago in high school, I was a senior. Actually, it was 1999, so it wasn't too long ago. I was supposed to be watching a movie in my civics and economics class, and it was really boring. So I was typing away on my Braille note, pretending to take notes. I don't recommend that. That's not good. You should take notes. You should pay attention. But I wasn't that day. But we were watching this movie, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy on the movie is like, involvement is the key to success. And I don't know why that popped out for me, but it did. And at that point in my life, I was always collecting quotes. I like quotes. You could work them into speeches, or you could work them into an essay, and it kind of makes it more colorful. But I really like that quote, involvement is the key to success. And 9 years later, I'm still thinking about that and how true it is, at least in my life. I've listened to a lot of speeches in my life, and I've been in the audience listening to people who are up here where I am. And, you know, one of the things that I think makes speeches very interesting is personal experiences and stories. So hopefully, I'm going to sit up here and ramble a bit, and you will listen, and you won't fall asleep. And hopefully I could be a little interesting. anyone know what's special about this year, this summer, 2008? Anybody? Starts with an O. Olympics, exactly. And that's what our theme is today, going for the gold. After the Olympics is the Paralympics. How many of you guys have heard about the Paralympics? Clap. Yay. All right. As Mark said earlier, I am a Paralympic hopeful. Back in August of 2007, I was down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and Rio. And I participated in the World Championships for the Blind, and I've participated in the Para-Pan American Games. And in the World Championships, I took fifth. I lost the bronze medal match, but I took fifth. And in the Para-Pan American Games, I took second. And placing at those tournaments made me number four in the world for my weight category. So that qualified U.S., not me specifically, but the U.S., to bring a female in the 70-kilo category to Beijing this September. In April, we have the Paralympic Trials, and I know at least of one other person who wants my spot, but I qualified it, and she can try. As mentioned earlier, I started judo 2 months before I turned 11 years old, and 4 days ago, I turned 27. So I've been in judo for about 16 years, on and off, not consecutively. I had to take some time off. It gets a little hard sometimes, always being competitive in a sport. You need time off. So I've been involved for 16 years, and it started because my dad, being a dad, wanted not only his blind daughter, but both his daughters, my little sister can see, to be able to kick butt. If ever need be, if the time ever came where we needed to protect ourselves for whatever reason. So my dad and my O&M instructor put their heads together, and they said, oh, maybe karate wouldn't work, but we don't really know. And then they came up with judo, and they're like, oh, judo, you know, that's body contact. Someone comes up to you, you learn to flip them. When you get down to the mat, it's very much like wrestling. You pin people, you choke people, you armbar people. It's really fun. So that's how I began. I began because my dad wanted me to be able to defend myself out there in the big bad world. But it was really fun. I really liked it. And after about a year, my sister, my dad, and myself, and eventually my little brother, started going to local tournaments. We were really competitive. My mom was our cheerleader and our video person. She never got involved in judo and actively. So we would go to tournaments every weekend. I grew up in the San Diego area, and we'd drive down to San Diego, to LA, all over Southern California for these tournaments. And eventually, my sister and I, we were winning a lot, and they're like, oh, you know, you should go to state championships. So we started going to state level games, and that eventually led to the junior nationals. So from 1993 to 1997, every summer, I would go to a different state, Arizona, Chicago, all sorts of places, and compete in the junior nationals for judo. And I was really enjoying myself. In 1997, I was at some tournament, I don't remember where, and a group of blind guys showed up. And these guys, I found out, had competed a year ago at the Paralympics in Atlanta, Georgia. And I thought that was really cool. And I said, I want to go to the Paralympics one day. How do I do that? So they told me about this organization called the United States Association for Blind Athletes, or USABA. And I joined up with them, and I started to compete with blind people in judo for the first time in my life. Now, locally and on the state level and nationally, I always fought sighted people. I never fought another blind female. But in 1998, I went to the World Championships for the Blind in Madrid, Spain. I was only 17 years old, and I got to leave the United States and my parents and go to Spain for 12 days. It was very cool, very, very cool experience. And that was my first international competition, the first time ever I competed against blind people, and I took third place. So I have this really cool bronze medal with Braille in the back of it that hangs on my wall today. And so that was pretty neat. In 2002, I went to Rome, and I participated in another world championship. I didn't do so well, but I did okay. And as already stated, in 2007, I went to Brazil for my third world championships and for the Para-Pan American Games. So from since 1997, my goal has been to compete at the Paralympics. And Athens wasn't my year. I was graduating from UC Berkeley. I was trying to get a job. I was trying to get money. I was trying to settle down. And it just wasn't happening. Athens wasn't going to happen. So I said, Beijing, 2008 is my year. So when I graduated from Louisiana Tech in 2006, I sat down and talked to my fiance. I talked to my parents, and I said, 2008 is my year, and I'm not going to get a full-time job because I need to train, and I need your support. This is going to be really hard. I'm going to do a lot of traveling. I'm going to come home all beat up sometimes, and sore, and maybe even grumpy. So it's a commitment not only for me, but it's a commitment for my fiance, and it's a commitment for my family, and hopefully the last weekend of April, it's going to pay off, and then I can train nonstop between April and September for Beijing. So that is what I hope to do. So that's judo. That's the last 16 years of my life. Judo's done a lot for me. It's built confidence. It's built my advocacy skills, discipline, definitely discipline. But it's even helped me socially. You know, judo's really taught me a lot of those things. And I have a couple examples here that I want to share with you. Confidence. You're like, how does judo build confidence? Well, you can kind of think of some ways, I'm sure. But think of a five-minute judo match. That's how long they are on the international level. 5 minutes can be really long when your opponent is trying to throw you, trying to choke you, trying to armbar you. They're pushing you around. They're yanking you everywhere. And if you're the girl from Mexico, she keeps headbutting you. I walked off the mat with a couple of bruises on my forehead and red marks all over my face and neck. It's totally worth it, though. in order to win a match, you have to know that you have the skills to win. You just don't walk on without the skills. You have to walk on knowing that you're going to walk off a winner. And even if you technically lose that match, you have to walk off knowing you gave it your absolute best. Okay? So I walked off with the silver medal, not the gold medal, but I walked off that mat knowing that I gave her a run for her medal, you know. So you have to be confident enough to know that whatever comes your way, you can succeed. And that can be applied to your daily life, to your job, to school, college, high school, anything. You have to know that you are able to succeed in whatever you put your mind to, but you have to work hard. You have to earn it. You have to have the skills in order to, you know, compete on an equal basis at your job, or to finish that essay, that 25-page research paper that they make you do sometimes in college. If you don't have the skills, you cannot believe in yourself. So you really got to build up those skills. And when you have those skills, you have the confidence that you know you gave it your absolute best. Sometimes it's very nerve-wracking to do something like go up against this really big girl, and you're like, how in the heck is she 154 pounds? She looks way bigger than that, and I'm short, and she's 6 inches taller, and oh my God. You know, it's very nerve-wracking sometimes, but you gotta know that, you know, I trained really hard, or I studied really hard, and I know I can do this. I know I can do this. You gotta have the confidence. Second thing is advocacy. You know, since I started judo, I've had to talk to my senseis or my instructors a lot about how they can best help me. Sometimes it's asking them to show me personally the throw or the pin or the choke that they're trying to teach the class. So I volunteer myself to be the uke. Sensei, can you throw me? Sensei, can you choke me? You know, or if they don't choose me as their partner, to show me later. So I have to advocate a lot. I've gone to many different clubs just because they're wonderful clubs. They have great reputations. And I walk in there, I say hi to the instructor. I'm blind, by the way, but that doesn't matter. I'm training for the Paralympics. I'm here because you're great and you have a wonderful reputation and I want to practice at your club. And you know, when I'm there, I have to really advocate. You know, this is what I need. The third thing I want to talk about is discipline. Perfecting a judo technique is sort of like perfecting your braille reading skills or your cane travel skills. It's really important that you have the skills you need to succeed in your job, in your college, whatever it is you choose to do. So sometimes I spend an hour doing the same judo throw over and over and over again. And 30 minutes into it, I'm thinking, oh, I had this down. And then I do the next throw and it's terrible. I don't have it down, but I have to keep trying. I have to keep perfecting it. It takes a lot of discipline. I mentioned social skills and judo helping me out that way. And it's kind of hard to think, oh, judo, how does that help your social life? You know, you're just in this dojo sweating, your hair's all frizzy, you know, you need a shower. It doesn't sound like, you know, it could really help your social life. But all the traveling I've done and the competitions, it's a great conversation starter. It's a great thing to talk about when you're meeting new friends and you're getting to know your friend and they're getting to know you. And you're like, yeah, I competed in judo 3 times in different countries. And it was really cool. And I have this medal and that medal. So it's pretty cool. Career. I've traveled a lot, and I've seen a lot of blind people out there walking around with canes, not walking around with canes, which is really sad. In Brazil, I was really disappointed. I was around so many blind people competing in so many sports, and they were amazing athletes, but hardly any of them carried a cane. Maybe 3 people besides me had canes. So that made me really sad that all these blind people didn't have canes. You know, that's what I do for a living. I'm an O&M instructor, and out in California, I teach people to use canes and be confident travelers. And so I took that home with me, that experience, and said, you know, I'm going to get a cane in the hands of every blind person I see without a cane. And it just made me more determined to do the job that I do every day. As Mark mentioned earlier, I've been part of the NFB for about 20 years, and the NFB has taught me a lot. It's given me role models, mentors, so many opportunities, and so many learning experiences and growing experiences, and I try to give back. It's my time to give back. Talking to you this morning is a way of giving back. And I hope that you go away today remembering my stories and being able to apply some of the things I've talked about, confidence, advocacy, discipline to whatever it is you want to achieve in your life. Earlier in my speech, I talked about involvement is the key to success. And that's something that I've kept with me for the last 9 years and that I feel is kind of my motto in life. I want to leave you with one more thought. It's a pretty simple thought, but I want you to think about it. And that is, success stops when you do. So please don't ever stop succeeding, and please continue going for that gold. Thank you.